Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Coburg Council wants to create a thriving community, better services, and be more sustainable. These are the three pillars of the new four-year strategic plan it hopes to pass this Monday. For the past 10 months, Coburg Council has worked with its consultant, Capital Park, towards a strategic plan. It has sought public input, and the process is now wrapping up. In this interview, Coburg Mayor Lucas Cleveland will explain how the three pillars will work as guiding principles for council. He will also review how the strategic plan will influence politicians as they face the numerous issues facing Coburg.
I'm so pleased to have with me today Coburg Mayor Lucas Cleveland. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Always a pleasure, Robert. Really excited to be doing this again today and looking forward to some good questions and some good talk.
This council has not had its own strategic plan for 9 to 10 months, as you have been working to create one. Now, a strategic plan is meant to be a guiding document for council and the actions it takes. What principles have guided council up until now?
Well, I think that's a great I think what's happened up until council is we've actually been working to build a cohesive team. Right from the get-go, I know myself, when I was running, the three things I stuck to were really clear. I wanted to make sure that at the end of my term, government was more accountable and transparent. I wanted to make sure that we operated more like teams. And the last thing I told everyone is that we're going to be making lots of changes. And in doing that, we're going to be making some mistakes along the way, because that's how you achieve progress, is by constantly trying new ideas. So for me, the last month has been primarily focused on that team building, making sure that the staff know that they can trust this council, that this council can trust one another, that we've been building that dynamic to make sure and sort of, you know, see how each counselor, I know I meet with my counselors monthly, each and every one of them. So when you ask about what is the dynamic or what sort of the guiding principles leading up, I've really been sort of learning the ropes as the mayor in this last year and taking a lot of guidance from my council, learning from them, learning what their priorities are, trying to understand what sort of two or three things really motivate and drive them. I believe that as a leader, your job is not to do everything, but instead to inspire those that you work with to accomplish what they want. And so whether it's working with my deputy mayor, who's got a real intensity about working to solve some of the housing issues, and sort of working with her to understand how I, as the mayor, can create that opportunity for her. Working with other counselors, learning from Councillor Mouton that she's really focused on the governance review and sort of making sure that she can input her say on that aspect. Or Mr. Barber, working with him to understand how he wants to sort of work with developers and making it a more streamlined process to make sure that we're not wasting time and effort for the very institutions that want to come here and help us grow our community. So what's guiding our principles? I think the individual counselors and the relationship that they're building with me and with one another has really sort of guided the first year. And to be honest, I'm going to be doing a roadshow here, if you will, or a TED talk coming up here at the end of November, really going into detail about this first year. Because while we may have not had sort of a strategic plan, what's pretty incredible is some of the work that's actually been done in this first year to get to where we are. And I'm really looking forward to sort of communicating with the public about some of these huge milestones that we've already put behind us, even before we got the strategic plan out the door.
It's not unusual that municipal governments create strategic plans, and many of your colleagues across Northumberland and Northumberland County have already put their strategic plans in place. Why has it taken so long for Coburg to get its strategic plan in place?
I don't think it's taken long. I'm just going to push back. We're actually bang on time for what we sort of wanted to see. We're maybe a month or two behind in terms of some of the back and forth from the actual agency that took on this work. But I'm actually really impressed with the timing of this because it's coming into our first year. And you're right, in terms of maybe it could have been done a little earlier. But at the end of the day, we got elected in November. We put our government sort of on pause with the governance review, and we had a budget process to get through. And by the time we did those two things, it was already in the new year. And so we got the strategic plan going right away. We've contracted out. We had to do the proper process to find them all. And we needed to make sure that it was done in time for the 2024 budget. That was the key marker. That was what we really wanted to have, because it's hard to make financial decisions when you don't have that guidepost, when you don't have sort of the message and the intention of where you want to take this organization, especially, I mean, dollars decide. And so we wanted to make sure our strategic plan was in place pre-budget discussions. And we're really excited because it is.
Let's talk about the plan itself. There are three pillars to the current draft of the strategic plan: thriving town, service excellence, sustainability. So let's explore those individually. The first one, thriving town. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, we can go right to the actual strategic plan and look at some of the questions we should be asking ourselves to see if the decisions we're making are contributing to a thriving town, or we can speak to the exact sort of idea of it. So let's start with that. And I think when we talk about thriving towns, some of the key points we're looking at are community health and well-being. We're looking at economic prosperity. We're looking at housing development, residential growth. We're looking for a healthy community, both mind, physical, and in the environment. And we're looking for a proper waterfront planning implementation to sort of really complete the community. So I think those are some sort of key takeaways in terms of when you look at what a thriving town in our mind looks like. And I think the strategic questions right in the strategy guide are sort of those key markers, right? Like when we're looking at a budget decision or when staff prepare an idea for us, in order to see if it sort of fits in that thriving town, these are the questions we're asking. Does this foster community well-being? So I think that's a great sort of guiding principle. It's like, oh, are we going to spend money on transit? Well, does it foster community well-being? Check. So then that moves on to the next conversation. And I think these questions are really the key to the strategic plan, is to use as a guidepost.
So let's talk about that a bit then, because part of it is it talks about a flourishing community. Can you explain what that means?
Well, when you talk about a flourishing community or a thriving community, I think it's the same idea. What we're talking about is a complete community that is focused on the priorities of this community. And I mean, we can see what those priorities are, but a thriving community is one that's a well-balanced community. It's a community that cares for its individuals in all spectrums. It's a thriving community that works with different agencies to ensure that we're increasing the quality of life for our community. It's making sure that we're spending an appropriate amount on parks and recreation. There are so many things that come into making a thriving community, which is really why I'm a big fan of the strategic plan, because it is expansive and it can sort of wrap its head around so many different ideas about what makes a thriving community.
Now, there are many residents, especially in the east and the north end of Cobourg, that will tell you that the town doesn't feel like it's flourishing. You can see on social media that people are afraid to go downtown to do business. Some people don't want to go out at night. We are experiencing a rise in the number of petty crimes, bikes being stolen, minor theft. It has gotten to a point where the police are now doing foot patrols in specific neighborhoods, and there's visibility strategies being implemented. And that's only a few of the concerns. How do you see this plank of a flourishing community or a thriving community being created by council as one of its goals in light of all of these things that are going on and how people feel?
Well, Robert, I think we need to really step a step back from that question, because the things you're describing are Canada-wide. It's not like Cobourg is alone in the increase in homelessness. It's not like Cobourg is alone in the drug epidemic. It's not like Cobourg is alone in any of the issues you're talking about: rising crime, petty theft, people feeling unsafe in their communities. In fact, what's happening in Cobourg has been happening in other communities across this country for 15 to 20 years. Cobourg is finally sort of catching up. Now,
with all due respect, it can be happening elsewhere, but it's happening here, and you're the mayor, and this is things that are going on. So what I'm asking you is, how does that fit into the strategic plan?
Well, when we are looking at how to spend our money, sir, and when we are looking at a thriving community, it's going to fit into our plan where we start putting more money behind our police forces. when you start seeing the hiring of more constables, when you start seeing the enforcement of our bylaws that this council has stood up and continually reinforced. So you want to talk about a thriving community. It's both. It's first increasing our security, increasing our safety, while also increasing our social housing supports, while also working with the county to better care for our community, sir. But I need to point out that this issue that you're speaking of to the east, let's call it what it is, the people around the new encampment and their concern around safety, that might be new to that community, but it's not new to the communities around some of the houses that we have been closing due to health and safety concerns. And so the issues that this community is now dealing with are not new to Coburg either, sir. And that's what I mean by to say that, yes, there are new residents who are experiencing a host of these issues, but those residents are just simply the new residents that are seeing these problems versus some of the communities that have been dealing with these issues for upwards of 5, 6, and 7 years that have now had a relief in these issues because these properties have been closed in their communities and have, unfortunately, some of the individuals have relocated to the encampment.
Okay, I understand your point and I appreciate it. But I guess to say that it's been around, therefore, that is okay. I guess what I'm saying to you is how does the strategic plan begin to take action on these things? And you mentioned a couple of things earlier, but there are people who are struggling or feel like they've been left behind. And you're right, the encampments are a really good example or a vivid example of poverty and homelessness in our community. So where are the action items within the strategic plan that is going to lift these people up?
Well, that's not the goal of a strategic plan, sir. Strategic plan isn't to lay out action items. That's not the purpose of a strategic plan. A strategic plan is an overarching vision from which we should be judging each and every decision we make through the lens of a strategic plan. Part of the problem, if I might be so frank, is when I looked at the previous strategic plans of previous councils, they were way too specific on the operational aspects of governance. I think one of the issues and one of the things you're seeing from this council is a redefining and a step back and a rebuilding of what it means to be a government. Our job as councillors and as the mayor is not to get into the nitty-gritty of operations. We have a 300-person staff here who's responsible for the operational decisions. Our job is to set policy. Our job is to set vision. Our job is to hold to account the staff that are then asked and tasked to complete. What this is a clear strategy, a strategic vision of what this council wants to see the staff understand and gear their work towards. So you're right, this doesn't have operational specifics because this is to be used when those questions about what operational specifics we should prioritize. And I think that's a big shift from past strategic plans, and it's one I'm really proud of, because when I looked at the past strategic plan and I saw 128 goals and we completed, 13 of them? Why were those given priority? Why were those executed? Why did we ignore all the other ones? Well, now when we're setting out what priorities to tackle, we have some good, clear questions to ask. We know the three things that matter the most. And if the decision we're making aren't fixing one of those three items, if they're not contributing to our thriving town, if they're not contributing towards sustainability, and if they're not contributing towards service excellence, why are we spending staff time, limited resource, and limited budget dollars on that priority? Because it's not in our strategic plan.
Okay, so let me give you another example, a past example, but let's use it as an example of how the strategic plan might work then. So we had a sleeping cabin proposal, which would fall within the purview of the town to approve, and it was nixed. Now, is that not part of a mixture of housing option, which is part of your strategic plan? And how does it fit into the definition of the mixture of housing options?
For all sure, we can talk about the Tiny Cabin Collective. The Tiny Cabin Collective in and of itself is not necessarily a bad idea, Mr. Washburn. We can see other communities that have successfully implemented tiny cabin communities. I've also seen a lot of communities that have destroyed entire neighborhoods because of a tiny cabin collective. And so what myself, I don't speak for my council when I say this, when I was making that decision, which we all know I was the deciding factor to not allow that to move forward, when I was weighing the positives and the negatives, what I determined was the successful the one sort of underlying success is who's running the tiny cabin collective. And when you look at the ones that are successful, when you call the mayors of towns that have these success stories, and then you call the mayors of the towns that wish they had never, ever approved the project, the underlying, the only thing that matters is the people who are running the project. And when I looked, as I said, when I said and voted against this, when I looked at who is organizing this project, I could not trust their words, because they were saying they were going to do what, follow all these rules. Yet several members of the committee that was putting that forward were blatantly disregarding many other rules that we were asking them to follow. So how in one side are they going to break rules under this organization, but now that they're working with the tiny cabins, they're all of a sudden going to start doing everything by the book? I couldn't trust that. And so I couldn't subject this community with a clear conscience to an organization and to a group of people who I did not trust to successfully run this project. And I based that decision off other projects they have been failed to organize efficiently and have been taken off of. So again, I'm not adamantly against that housing option, and I'm happy to have that. We are talking about it at different levels of government. But who runs that organization is really important. And more important, when I speak to the service providers, those at the county, the professionals that know what they're talking about, and I hear from them their concerns around some of the people organizing, and when I hear from them some of the concerns about this project and the loose ends that haven't been worked out, I have to listen to the professionals sometimes.
So the second pillar is service excellence. What does that mean?
Oh, it's my favorite. It's what I have done for the last 25, 30 years of my life. It's focusing on quality service. It's focusing this government and this staff on engaged and connected communication with our constituents. It's about looking for accountability in our governance, both of the elected officials and of our executive team members. It's looking for better communications. And I continue to stress that service excellence means better communications. We fundamentally need to put more money into communications in this community. I continue to say that every dollar we spend in communications is going to save us 10 to 15 labor dollars. We are wasting so much time answering the same question over and over and over again, instead of having a communication that actually reaches our community. And I mean, I won't get into it, but when we've lost our local papers, there has never been more of a time that this town should be focusing on its communication. And most importantly, which is something I'm really proud of, is service excellence means we've become an employer of choice. And I think we've done that in just this last year. When we look at our directors team, and I don't believe we have a single director over the age of 50, maybe our fire chief, and he's going to be very upset that I pointed out that he's the oldest of our directors team, but we have one of the most, the youngest directors team for a town our size. And we are becoming an employer of choice. We are seeing those resumes really start to come in when a position is open, because we are creating that service excellence in this organization.
The third pillar is sustainability. Now, sustainability is a real buzzword, but what does it mean here?
That's a loaded question, Robert, because it depends who you talk to, that what does sustainability mean? I think if you asked every single one of the counselors around the table, they too would have a slightly different version of what sustainability is. When I've spoken to Sustainability Coburg, when I've spoken to some of the Coburg Taxpayers Association, when you sort of cross the political realm in this community and you talk to all the different interest groups, I think sustainability is one of the few things that runs across them. Because sustainability is an all-encompassing sort of concept, where we balance financial, infrastructure, and environmental concerns in a way that protects the quality of life for future generations. So financial sustainability is really important, because if we're not planning out for the next 10 or 15 years, we're going to go bankrupt, and then we're going to be forced into decisions that we don't want to face. Infrastructure sustainability is really important. When we're building infrastructure, are we building it for 5 or 10 years, or are we investing it for 50 to 100 years? Because financial sustainability would say cheaper, but when you're looking at sustainability in a big picture, perhaps spending a little more in the short term to have that infrastructure last longer. And most importantly, it all wraps back into environmental sustainability, because the reality is if we're not protecting our environment, if we're not doing well for our environment, then it doesn't matter how much financial sustainability and infrastructure we have, because at the end of the day, our planet's not going to be habitable. So I think part and parcel of sustainability is really showing the interconnectedness of our decisions. And I think this pillar is really important, because while we can all sort of point to what a thriving town looks like, and we can point to what service excellence looks like, sustainability is the interwoven thread of all of these decisions, because it doesn't matter if we create a thriving town that goes bankrupt in 6 months. It doesn't matter if our service excellence is incredible, but we're burning the earth and not making any environmentally appropriate decisions. And I think the three of these pillars really come together in that sustainability piece, because it's what allows us to really step back and go, hold on, is this decision the right now decision, or is this the right decision for the long term? And that's key, especially when we're making difficult decisions, either financially, infrastructure-wise, or policy-wise. It's really important to sort of get that bird's-eye view. And I think sustainability forces you into a bird's-eye view and gets you out of the sort of the day-to-day emails of people trying to convince you one way or another, because oftentimes our residents aren't always focused on the long term. They're writing to you because they have a problem in the right now. And our job as leaders and our job on the council is not necessarily, yes, to deal with the right now, but more importantly, to prepare our community for the future.
Towards the end of the strategic plan, there is an entire page of plans and policies that is quite long and impressive. It seems like there are so many balls in the air. How is this council going to integrate all those various reports and policies into a cohesive path going forward within the context of the strategic plan?
It's interesting. So when you talk about a cohesive plan, I'm going to ask, what do you mean by that? When you're saying a cohesive plan, like a vision that we're trying to attain, or what is that cohesive plan you're looking for?
Well, I guess when I look at that last page, I want to better understand how all of this is going to come together and be sort of one thing that moves forward. How do you put all the pieces together?
Fair enough. I think you put all the, Robert, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And I think that's the way we're going to be approaching this. We are still looking to finish our strategic plan. We need that. We've got some great feedback from the public on it. We're starting to hear from different special interest groups about where we're lacking, where we need more focus. You're going to see sort of a wrap up and a presentation of the strategic plan. Now, when you're talking about the strategic planning context, the strategic plan was the first step of wrapping this all into a plan. So when we look at our consultants have actually reviewed all of these plans. And that's what we pay the money for our specialists to do, is to do exactly what you spoke to sort of put the pieces together in a document that is easy and accessible to read. When people sort of criticize council, past councils for hiring consultants, I think this is an appropriate time to talk about the need for consultants. And I think this is an appropriate time to talk about why we still need to spend money on consultants. We hear on the forums, on social media, we have 300 staff. Why can't staff do it? Well, because staff are the ones who actually created all these documents. All those community service, planning and development, public works, and staff have a really great tunnel focus on their department, because that's what we pay them to do, to be experts on their stuff. The reason sometimes you need that consultant to come in, because the consultant creates a third party vision, and they are slightly removed from the individual departments of community service, fire, legislative services. And you need that sort of, as we talked about, bird's eye view to sort of look at all of them and come up with it. And I think what I really want to sort of stress is that this council was unanimous during its strategic planning session, that we wanted a strategic plan that was actually understood, that was actually used, so that in those council meetings, we have actual questions to ask of ourselves and of our staff, so that we're not making decisions in a void. And so what you're seeing here is all of these strategic planning content coming together in three clear, specific pillars. And I think it's not saying that we can't modify. It's not saying that these individual plans aren't important. When we are discussing stormwater, we're going to go into the technical and engineering guidelines for stormwater management and be very specific, but not council. because council shouldn't be in the operations of this organization. Council's job is to set policy for the experts and for the staff who were hired to do a job. And so just to take a step back and sort of answer the original question, sir, how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to do it by using our strategic plan day in and day out to judge the decisions we're making, to decide and to ask staff to come forward with ideas and suggestions at budget time that align with our strategic plan. When the staff run into issues at their job that prevent them from service excellence, I want them to be bringing those issues to council, because that's the expectation. And I think what you're going to see is the next step of this, once we've ratified the strategic plan, will be our CAO meeting individually with the directors of each department and asking them, how are they going to build a thriving town? How are they going to work towards service excellence? And how are they focusing on sustainability, not just in the next 1 year, but over the term of this council? That's where we're going to get those KPIs. That's where we're going to get the next step of this, is actually taking this strategic plan and asking the staff to tell us how they're going to do this.
When is the document coming to council for final approval?
I believe it's November 6th. I'm just sort of pulling that. Yeah, I'm just looking at my calendar here. Sorry, Rob. Yeah, it's November 6th. We'll be seeing that finalization at the council.
Your Worship, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Robert, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the great questions today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.